And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Debbie. And through the magic of radio, I am back again. I was on vacation, and we hope you had a wonderful time with Lori Fisher last week. I want to say thank you to him for sitting in for me. But I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be back here with my fellow panelists and with you out there in the audience. So please give us a listen for over the next hour or so, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can call and participate. That's very, very important. The number here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free at 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. And we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. I think we're going to soft pedal the sports this week because...
Don't be too sure of that.
Well, I'm going to put my foot down. Lori's not here anyway. And I hope you didn't go too hog wild with that last week. So this is not a sports trivia show.
I don't know if we... maybe one.
Yeah. All right. All right. One is okay.
We don't overload the show with sports.
All right. All right. That's good. Anyway, so I'm back and I have assumed control once again. I'm going to buckle down and get this thing done.
Are you the Alexander Haig of Minds Over Matter?
Yes.
I'm in control here.
Yes. And you're the Ronald Reagan. So I just want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Mindsovermatter, that's one word, @yahoo.com. You can listen to us, of course, live anywhere in the world. I did that in Vienna, Austria, strangely enough, although it happened to be 5 in the morning. At kalw.org, that's kalw.org. And you can also get a podcast of this show. Debbie is here, and we'll do her usual splendid job. And that will be available also at kalw.org. So, all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. I'm going to sell this like I've never sold anything before. Jerry Nachman survived the much-hyped biblical storm last week, but he is now laying in supplies for next week's expected deluge of locusts.
Very, very good. See, I knew you could do it.
Yeah.
Okay, you.
I gave it much more attention than it deserved.
You went out there a host, and you came back a star.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, Joshua Cosman thanks Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker for his Hanukkah greeting of Molotov and wishes him, in return, a very Merry Crisco.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is just back from Vienna, Austria, where he enjoyed the music, museums, and monuments, but resisted the McSchnitzel at the local McDonald's.
So,
really?
Yes. Yeah. So, all right. All that being said, we will start with Jerry Nachman, who's had 2 weeks to prepare for this show.
Okay. An 1864 production of Julius Caesar was a historic occasion. Why is it? Why was it?
Is it because all three of the Booth brothers were in it?
All right.
Yes.
All right. I knew the date would give that.
Edwin Junius and John Wilkes.
Yes.
Well, the father's Junius Brutus.
Or Junius is the father.
Oh, Junius is the father?
Yeah, Junius Brutus Booth.
Mm-hmm. Right, Brutus Booth, okay.
Okay. Well, here's a kind of a similar question. John Lionel and Ethel Barrymore only appeared in one movie together. What was it? You know this.
I know this, but I won't. So I won't say.
I don't know it.
This is only for a real movie.
Grand Hotel?
Movie buffs. No. It's a very early movie.
John and Lionel were in several movies together, but with Ethel, one of them.
Okay. All three Barrymores only appeared in one movie together. What was it? I'll give you the year. It's 1932. Right. Pretty early movie. Okay.
The only Barrymore movie I know is E.T.
The only what?
Nothing.
You pretend to be more of a Philistine than you actually are, but all right. All right, and Josh, why don't we go to you?
All right. There popped up on the internet one of these little listicles where somebody had made a list of, for all the 50 states, what each state was worst at in the country. Some of them were stretching, like Maine's claim to infamy is that it has fewer helipads than any other state in the union. But some of them were real, so I'm going to ask you...
Explain again what you mean by worst at being a worst.
I'll give you the five. I'm going to give you these five measures and ask you for the states. So what state in the union has the fewest high school graduates per capita? What state has the worst income inequality in the nation? What state has the highest homelessness rate? What state has the highest murder rate? And what state has the most polluted cities?
Okay. Now, is this per capita?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to run through those.
So, sure. Fewest high school grads per capita, most income inequality, highest homelessness rate, highest murder rate, and most polluted cities. So this is just one-tenth of this article that I'm...
Right.
You know, they found one of these for every state.
Right. Is West Virginia the answer to any one of those?
No. West Virginia was one of the... I think it was maybe fewest advanced degrees or something similar, but it was not. Okay. It's not one of those.
Fewest teeth.
Yeah.
I think the highest murder rate is Flint, Michigan.
And no.
Okay.
No.
And he's looking for a state.
I'm looking for a state.
A state.
A state, and it is not Michigan.
Okay.
Michigan, if I remember right, it had the distinction of having the worst roads in the country.
Hmm. Okay. Just go over what you want once more.
Looking for the state with the fewest high school graduates per capita, the only state in the country with fewer than 80% high school graduates, most income inequality, highest homelessness rate, highest murder rate, and most polluted cities.
Most polluted cities.
How about highest homeless rate? Is that Florida?
It is not Florida. Oh. Florida got the nod for most boating accidents.
Well, that makes sense.
Voting or boating?
Boating. Oh, well, both.
Most polluted cities. New Jersey for most polluted cities? Hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're up in Union City?
Hello.
I think I know what the move is with the Rasputin and the Express.
What's that?
Rasputin and... It's Rasputin. He means to say Rasputin and the Empress.
Yes, that's correct. Rasputin and the Empress. Yeah.
I know. It's Lionel Barrymore. He played Rasputin.
Right.
Very good. Okay.
There's one question you didn't ask, but I'm not sure you answered last time. You said, who was the only star ever to fall asleep in Hollywood Squares? Anybody answer that?
No.
No.
I know. Who was?
Who?
I think I know. Jack Palance.
Correct. You looked that up. Come on.
Yeah, I found that out. It was in the book.
Very good. Yeah. Jack Palance. Right. Okay.
He fell asleep?
I got a couple of music questions for Josh.
Okay.
Yeah, what was the product work by David Barber that quoted Silent Night, Good King Wenceslas, and Joy to the World?
Orchestral work by?
Samuel Barber.
Huh.
Oh.
Hmm. That doesn't ring a bell at all. I should know this, but I don't. Dana, you always come to my rescue when I'm humiliating myself on classical music questions.
Is this a purely orchestral work?
Yeah, it's an orchestral work. But if you listen carefully, you hear at least three Christmas carols quoted throughout.
It's not the symphonies. It's not the violin concerto.
No.
It's not the
piano concerto.
Not the piano concerto. It's not Knoxville 1915.
Yeah, and now we've run through the orchestral pieces.
Not Vanessa.
Well, no. You're not. It's not an opera, is it?
No, it's not an opera.
No.
You don't know?
We don't know.
It's Die Natalie.
Oh. I don't think I mean...
At least once.
That sounds like a recording... A Christmas kind of piece,
right.
Yeah,
but I don't know it.
It's worth a listen.
Okay.
And here's my second question. Who was the first musician ever to be featured on the cover of Time magazine?
First musician.
So any type of any type of music.
Yeah, composer.
Only a composer.
Oh, composer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it Shostakovich?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Oh, very good.
I mean, that was a famous Time cover, but I didn't know that it would be the first.
Yeah.
Huh. Good question.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. All right. Here's an English question, an English language question. What is the longest word in English with the letters in reverse alphabetical order? It's a 9-letter word. It is the longest word in English with the letters in reverse alphabetical order. It is 9 letters.
That's good. I wish I knew.
Work on that.
I'm going.
I didn't expect an immediate answer.
No. I'm going to have to figure it out. You won't hear from me for the rest of the show.
All right. Once more. What is the longest word in English with the letters in reverse alphabetical order? It is a 9-letter word. All right. Second question. A little more pop culture. What was the first winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to also win the Best Song Academy Award? What was the first winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to also win the Best Song Academy Award?
Can you give us a decade?
No.
How about Cavalcade?
That's a good guess, but that was before the Best Song Oscar.
Oh, really?
The year,
oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing something. I don't know anything about the movie. It sounded more
there
musical.
There were songs in it.
I figured it sounded more musical than songs. Cimarron.
Yeah.
There were songs in that?
Yeah, a couple of Noel Coward songs, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best Song and Best Oscar. Okay, Best Picture. Okay.
Right. So, what was the first winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to also have the Best Song Academy?
Was it a musical?
Yes, it was a musical. And once more, what is the longest word in English with the letters in reverse alphabetical order? And I'll give you a break on this. I'm going to the last word of the letter is D.
Sure.
D?
Okay. D. And it's a 9-letter word. See if that helps you at all.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
So, I don't know if you made it back for our bad weather.
No, unfortunately, I did. I came back the day after, which is good because I heard that a lot of planes were being grounded or not being let in at San Francisco.
Well, it was quite wet. And, of course, I've got people talking about records and so forth. And I looked up to see whether that might be the wettest day, but was not. There are records on the computer kept by Jan Null, the meteorologist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has records going back to the mid-19th century for San Francisco. So I was wondering if you can give me one guess each for the amount of the rainiest day in San Francisco history.
How many inch-wise?
Yeah, inch-wise.
Okay.
In one day.
Well,
6 inches.
6 inches?
Mm-hmm. No, it's more than that, surely. I'm going to guess 10.
Whoa. That's
I think
the Philippines.
Yeah, that's high, huh?
I think Jerry's probably pretty close. I'll say 5.
Okay. Well, those are great guesses. I never would have expected to be as high as this. 5.54 inches.
Wow.
So we'll split that 50-50.
So I won.
Yeah.
Wow. 5.5. 6 is closer to 5.5.
Right.
4.
Right.
Is 6 is over.
Slightly.
okay.
But it's interesting. I don't remember it, but it happened not so long ago, 20 years ago, 1994. So that's kind of surprising.
Hmm.
You'd think that would stand out in our memories. Okay, he also has statistics for the wettest months in San Francisco. And again, this goes back...
On average or the wettest month ever?
The wettest month ever. And this goes back to... It could be in the 19th century. So can you give me the total, I guess, within 10% of the total for the wettest month ever?
I think you're going to ask what month it was. Yeah, okay. It's probably a January, February thing.
No way to guess.
How many inches in a month, you mean?
Yes, total.
I'll say...
17.
9.
Okay. So, well, if we had almost 6 in one day, that doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah, but you don't get 6 in one day very often.
No. Okay. Josh, you have...
I've shown my inability to handle this. I'm going to go with 9 if that's what Dana says.
Okay. Well, Jerry wins again. It's 24.36 inches, which is, according to the records, January of 1862.
24, wow.
Yeah. So we've got a ways to go to beat that.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, or Gerald Nachman, as he's better known, and from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music writer and critic, Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station in San Francisco, California. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134 or you can call toll-free at 866-798-8255.
Those old reflexes are a little rusty after a week away, aren't they?
Do you want me to read your introduction again?
No, you'll mess it up.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So the average rainfall for the Bay Area is 22.9 inches per year. 22.9.
Yes.
Not a lot, really. I mean, you can take a lot of area where you can have up to 100 or 200 inches of rain a year, tropical area. But I have two questions. The first one about presidency or presidents. This president grandfather company was seized by the U.S. government for trading with the enemy in 1942. You know which president? His grandfather.
His grandfather's company. His grandfather's
company. His company was seized by the U.S. government for trading with the enemy. He also was called Hitler financier. He used to finance Hitler military.
Is it Joseph Kennedy?
No.
Kennedy, okay.
Kennedy was involved with bootlegging and whiskey.
Right.
Another crime. But this guy, so his grandfather was actually Hitler. He also his family got sued by a lot of the Auschwitz survivor. And they actually got a bunch of, over $100 million settlement.
So this was a future president, in other words?
No, I mean past president.
Oh, yeah, but at the time it was a future president.
At the time, of course, it was future president, yes. It is also his family called the American crime family.
The Bushes.
Very obvious. With the torture business coming out this week,
The
war on terror is bogus and is war against American people.
All right. Bush. Yeah, the Bush family, I would imagine.
Huh? Very obvious.
The Bushes.
Of course. Of course.
Why is it so obvious?
Because Prescott Bush is known to be the Hitler financier, and his company was seized in 1942 under the trading with the enemy.
Well, I wouldn't call that obvious, but anyway, go ahead.
What's the other question?
That really is. I mean, no, it is a crime family for sure.
Yeah.
Well, vote for Jeff Bush will be crazy. He's a criminal.
What's the other question, Ed?
The other question is, Earth is known as the blue planet, but actually there is another blue planet in the solar system. Which one?
In our solar
Earth
system.
Earth is one, another one.
And why do they call it a blue planet? Because that's the way it appears?
It appears, yes, from space. If you look at Earth from space, it looks really beautiful blue. But there's another planet that just even look more beautiful, blue.
Neptune.
Good guess.
Well,
very good guess. Has to be it.
Is it Neptune?
It is it.
All right.
Well done.
Well done, Dana.
That's why they call it Neptune.
Okay, very cool question for your audience.
Yeah.
All right.
What is the heaviest element on Earth?
All right.
Heaviest element. It is 23 times as heavy as water.
All right, we'll leave it out.
Very good.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye.
Lead, right?
I'm not sure. Okay. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What product did these four people endorse? Babe Ruth, General George Patton, and Buzz Aldrin?
It's only three.
Three people. Oh, I added a fourth, but decided it would make it maybe too obvious.
All right.
What product is very well known product?
I was so busy checking your math, I forgot to write down who the third person was. Who was it?
Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin, General Patton, and Babe Ruth.
Tang. No.
Lucky cigarettes.
No. It's no.
It's not
a.
Rinso.
It's not anything, food or beverage.
So it's nothing consumable?
No.
Well, it must be consumable in some way.
No, it's not.
Huh. It's a product, but it's not consumable. But no, there's nothing you eat or drink, in other words. Okay. So Babe Ruth, George Patton, and Buzz Aldrin. Huh. Okay. George Patton. But he wouldn't have endorsed. It wasn't during the war they endorsed it.
I don't know when it was. Well, I don't know.
Is this a utilitarian thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But it's common, as we know.
Absolutely. And I want the, it's a, you can, it's a famous brand.
Okay. Is it a, okay. Is it like a revolver, a gun?
No.
Famous brand.
It's a more personal product. I'll give you that hint.
Oh. Real cream.
No. No?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Josh, you have
nothing? I got nothing.
Okay.
I haven't heard about it.
Okay.
Speaking of having nothing, I'm still working on this reverse alphabetical order.
I figured you were.
Yeah. I just realized I've been making an assumption that may not be well-founded, which is, are there any repeated letters in this word?
Yes, there are.
Ah, okay. I was looking for 9 distinct letters and coming up empty.
I don't know how you'd even approach it myself.
Well, I've got the alphabet.
He has the last letter.
I have the last letter, which gives me the second last letter.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, you got to have vowels in there, so there's not a lot of leeway, but you got to have some doubles.
See, all right. Figuring. That's why he does the crossword puzzles.
I got an 8, but that's not going to do.
No.
All right, I'm working on it.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Gene from New York.
Hi, Gene.
Oh, it's a good thing that there's repeated letters because I have a word, spoon feed.
That's exactly
right. Oh, excellent.
What is the word?
Very good. Spoon feed.
I didn't think there were repeated letters, but that's just,
well, I was sitting here with
guests for high school graduates, lowest high school graduates in Mississippi.
No, good guess, but not right. Mississippi, I think, has the lowest life expectancy.
Okay.
But you're close. You're in the neighborhood.
Inequality, New York State?
No. Good guess for that, too. Close by, but not New York. New York has the worst taxes or something.
Okay. Homeless people, California?
No.
Wow. Okay. And one more. Murder,
yep.
Maryland?
Not Maryland.
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
You're thinking of because of the wire?
Baltimore is a heavy crime.
Oh, okay.
No, this is you're right to be thinking about TV shows.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not.
So since Josh was on the line, I'm going to ask a geography question. What's the longest land border? Which country has the longest land border?
It's the United States and Canada, isn't it?
No, not two countries. Just which one country has the longest land border. It could be a different country.
Oh, okay. So the sea doesn't, in other words, any border on the ocean doesn't count, in other words.
Right. Land border only.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be Russia?
Russia.
Well, it's not actually the longest because it's more convoluted, let's say, and it comes out to be longer, actually.
Oh, I see. It's got
Then possibly Brazil?
No.
Only
possible guess, I think, left.
China.
Yes, China has the longest land border, and it borders 14 different countries.
Right.
But that's not as interesting. I'm going to ask you what 14 countries does Russia border, and I'm going to give you, Poland and Lithuania is bordered by a little bit of Russia, so it's not the main part. And then, obviously, China and Mongolia. Can you give me the other 10 countries that Russia
has? Oh, my.
Well, Estonia, Latvia, Moldova, Ukraine.
No, not Moldova.
No, not Moldova. I'm sorry, you're right.
But Belarus.
Ukraine, Belarus.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Uzbekistan.
Sure, Afghanistan.
Latvia.
Not. Are you sure about Uzbekistan?
Not Uzbekistan, not Afghanistan,
so.
And not Moldova.
Not Afghanistan?
Not Afghanistan. China has a border with Afghanistan.
How about Latvia?
Yes, Latvia.
No, Russia has a border with Afghanistan because they invaded
it. Sure, exactly.
So they must have been.
No. The Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan.
But there's no border.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
So. And I don't suppose you're going to count Kaliningrad...
Well, I said, Lithuania and Poland are bordered by Kaliningrad, yeah.
Well, China.
Oh, I thought Germany was. Maybe I'm wrong.
China, Mongolia.
All right. Are we missing an obvious?
There's two in the upper region.
Armenia.
Not Armenia.
Yes, they have a border with Armenia. Georgia and... Georgia and... what's the one? Not
the third one of those three.
Yes, not Armenia.
Not Azerbaijan.
Yes, Azerbaijan.
Oh, is it really?
Azerbaijan.
Oh, we did it.
No, we didn't. In the north, if you haven't said it, at least I haven't.
There's Norway.
Yes,
oh, Finland.
Norway and Finland. Did I say Finland?
Yeah, good.
And also North Korea, 19-kilometer border.
Oh, okay. Sure, right.
All right.
The Yalu River.
All right. Jerry loves this question.
Not the Yalu River. It's that's the one with between China
oh,
and
oh, you're right. My bad. Sorry. Okay.
The Tumen River.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Can't
you
believe
much.
This. He got spoon-feed, and I'm sitting here thinking spoon-fed, but no, that's only eight.
Oh, take Dan.
And I got
an answer, maybe.
Okay.
The best picture and best song?
Yes.
The Great Ziegfeld and A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody?
No.
Oh. Pretty good guess.
We got the picture.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, you didn't get the you got the picture in the sense that won Best Picture, but it was not that was not the movie I was looking for. So in other words, you understood that The Great Ziegfeld won Best Picture, but that wasn't the movie.
Oh, okay.
And the song had been written previously, 10 years before or something, so that couldn't have won an Academy Award because it wasn't written for the movie. Anyway.
Okay.
So you get the joke.
Whatever you say.
All right. And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. What number one pop hit has lyrics that consist of only one word, which is the name of the song?
Tweedly Dee.
I don't know that song.
Tweedly, tweedly, tweedly dee.
Yeah.
Is that a real?
I think that's true. Well, I'm not sure.
I don't know the whole song.
I mean, I can't say this is the only one that of which is as true. It's just
you never heard of Tweedly Dee.
I didn't. Oh.
So it's just the same word repeated over and over and over again.
I didn't say that. I said the lyrics consist of one word, which is the name of the song.
Okay. Let's see.
Is it a doo-wop song?
No.
Can you tell us what decade it's from?
Maybe if you can't get it, I'll let that information seep out.
In other words, is it sort of a rock and roll era song? Can you tell us that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And just read the whole thing once more.
What number one pop hit has lyrics that consist of only one word, the name of the song?
I don't know.
Tweedly Dee is my best shot.
It's a good guess. I'd never heard of that one, but
right.
You know,
okay.
Someone out there will know it.
Okay, and let's go to a call.
And then you guys will go like, "Ah, oh, I should have thought of it."
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Norman with Ava and Ellie.
Hi.
And I wanted to guess that the most polluted state is Virginia.
No.
No, and the state that has the least. High school diplomas. I know this is not the right area. My daughter said Hawaii because, Hawaii.
No, it's a good guess, but it's not the right answer or even the right area.
I know you said it was definitely the South.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was my daughter's guess. So thank you very much.
Don't throw her under the bus. She was a good guess.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll free at 866-798-8255. All right. So I'm going to give you, with your kind indulgence, two questions because one of them has to be worked on for a little while. All right. This is another kind of a Josh sort of question. If you wrote every number in the English counting system, in other words, 1, 2, mm-hmm. 3, 4. I'm only talking about whole numbers, or basically,
right.
In alphabetical order, what would the first two numbers always be?
Always.
So if you wrote every number in the English counting system, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., in alphabetical order, what would the first two numbers always be?
I'm pretty sure it's 8 and 18, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess I got knocked back.
All right. Now, second question.
8,000.
No.
Okay.
So now the other question is, I'm going to give you five These are famous books, famous novels, and I want you to tell me where they got the title for them, okay? So,
I'm laughing because I have the same question.
Oh, really?
Well, ish.
Well, hopefully it's not exactly the same question.
No. All right.
All right.
I'll save
so these are origins of famous book titles. So these are five novels, and I want you to tell me where the title came from, you know, as much as you can.
You mean where it refers to?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Where the actual title, where they got it from? It came from another work.
Oh, I see. Oh,
you see what
okay.
you mean?
Yep. Another source. Okay.
Or it doesn't have to be a work, or it could be a saying or slang or whatever. But anyway, so try to explain it to me as best you can. All right. So these are origins of famous book titles. So here are the books: Light in August by Faulkner.
Okay, wait a minute. Go slowly.
Okay.
Okay. Uh huh.
Things Fall Apart by Achebe. Which is a terrific book. Brave New World by Huxley. A Handful of Dust by Evelyn Waugh. And The Golden Bowl by Henry James. So once more, these are the books. I want you to tell me where they took the titles from. Light in August by Faulkner, Things Fall Apart by Achebe, Brave New World by Huxley, A Handful of Dust by Waugh, and The Golden Bowl by Henry James.
Good one. Good titles.
You go first. I got a couple of them.
I don't have any. So
all right.
You go
so
first.
The two I know are Things Fall Apart is from Yeats' poem.
The Center Will Not Hold.
Now I'm blanking on the name of the poem.
Center Cannot Hold.
Oh, I knew it was the eighth.
No,
that
I know,
fine.
But I was going to show off, except
all
I failed.
Right.
And Brave New World is from The Tempest. That's
yes.
when Miranda first
yes.
sees Frederick. What is the name of the Yeats poem?
I don't know.
The Second Coming.
Okay,
is what it's
right.
called.
Yes, Things Fall Apart is Yeats, and Brave New World is The Tempest. So we're still looking for A Handful of Dust, The Golden Bowl, and Light in August.
Am I right that A Handful of Dust, I think, is somewhere in the Bible, but I can't remember where.
It is not in the Bible.
It's not?
No.
Oh, that's why I can't remember where. All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
All right. So one guess for the lowest college rate, maybe Alaska, because it doesn't have very many people?
No, that's a good guess, but...
I know you said the South, so my other guess is Louisiana.
No, Louisiana is on the list for something else.
Okay. I have a lot of guesses, and I'm sure I'm going to I'm not going to get any of them.
Oh, that's okay.
That's all right.
We do it all the time.
All right. For Babe Ruth, I'm going with a liquor or a whorehouse, so I'll go with liquor. Coors?
No. It's the same product for all three men.
Or a hot dog, maybe.
Babe Ruth, General Patton, and Buzz Aldrin.
Okay.
What?
Sorry.
No, not liquor, no.
And are any of the best picture, best songs related to Barbra Streisand?
Well, the one I'm looking for is not, let's put it that way.
Okay, well, this is thrilling. and one other thing. So the numbers are called Arabic numbers, otherwise that guy will call back and tell you that.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for preempting that.
Yeah, and also if people would keep their mouths farther away from the phone and talk more slowly, then you and the rest of us could understand them.
Well, that's good advice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Must be a speech teacher.
English teacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm glad she didn't include us.
I know. She was just being nice, I think. Let's see. Let's go to Nicole.
Is that me?
It is you.
Finally. I thought it was fourth. It was more like eighth in line.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I left my ear plug in on the right side this time.
All right.
Anyway, how about the heaviest element? If it's a naturally occurring element, it's uranium, isn't it?
Debbie says no.
What?
It is not uranium.
It isn't uranium.
No.
Because plutonium is made by... It's not found in nature because it breaks down.
It's not plutonium either.
Oh, well. We'll find out at the end. How about, I don't know, any state... Utah answered any state one?
No.
That's one way to approach it.
Yeah, and I can't even guess at the best picture, best song. The only thing I could think of would be The Wizard of Oz.
No, it wasn't best picture.
I didn't know. Anyway, I got some questions for you.
All right,
How about holiday one?
Right.
How about what holiday song is not actually written for Christmas?
Oh, that's Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow?
No, it's Jingle Bells, because the lyrics are about going to Thanksgiving dinner at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Huh.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Didn't know that. The lyrics, you'll get that one out.
All right.
And they got a weather one for you. When's the most snow ever fallen in one 24-hour period? Where?
Where?
I'll give you a hint. It's not in around the Great Lakes.
This is in the United States.
In the U.S., I mean.
In the U.S., okay.
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't around the Great Lakes. It wasn't lake effect snow.
Oh, okay. So it was not around the Great Lakes.
It has to be Minnesota.
No.
No, that's around the Great Lakes.
Okay.
So, well, reasonably close anyway.
Go west.
How about North Dakota?
You're close.
South Dakota.
Idaho.
Silver Lake, Colorado, 76 inches.
Colorado.
North 15, 1951.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's 76 inches.
Lots of snow. 76 inches.
6 feet, yeah. Okay.
Oh, and one more quickie. What was the importance of yesterday?
What was the importance of yesterday? You mean the day in history?
It was December.
Just
it was
13. Just think of yesterday.
12, 13, 14. Yeah.
Okay.
And there
you go.
When's the next sequential day?
Yeah.
13.
One,
oh,
two,
I see.
One, two, three. I don't know.
Yeah.
Long time.
He's got it right. 1, 2, 3, 2103.
January 2nd, 2103.
Okay.
Yep.
It'll be my daughter's birthday.
Okay. Years. We've got to stick around for about 90 more years.
All right. All right.
5 more years.
Thank you very much.
Carl and Patero, thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. And let's see, is it your turn, Jerry? Okay, there you go.
Okay, what is the only song Jerome Kern did not compose for a stage or movie musical? It became a standalone hit, and it's now a standard.
Is it Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
No.
No, it's Roberta.
That's Roberta, yeah.
So it's a standard. In other words, it's a very well-known song. Okay. Can you give us like a decade that he composed?
I'm not sure when it was. I would guess the 40s. He died in the late 40s.
The 40s?
I think so. I would guess the 40s.
That late? Huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't.
In fact, I'm sure of it.
It wasn't from any show. Who was the lyricist?
I don't know. Very good question. I should know. Wait a minute. I think it's Hammerstein.
Okay.
Yes, it is Hammerstein.
Okay. Well, they didn't believe me.
No, that's from Showboat.
No, that's not from Showboat. That may have been one of the Princess shows, but it's not. It's not from Showboat. I know that.
Oh, okay.
So it's a better known song than that.
As well known as that.
As
not
well
better
known.
Than that.
Okay. All right. Repeat the question, would you, Jerry?
The only song Jerome Kern did not compose for a stage or a movie musical. It became a hit and it's now a standard.
All right. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, why don't you go first?
The only song. No,
no other than that.
What product did these three people endorse? Babe Ruth, General George Patton, and Buzz Aldrin.
And it's not a consumable. It's not a food or a drink.
No. I said it's a personal product.
It's a personal product. Okay.
And it's got a very well-known brand name.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm looking for the state in America that has the fewest high school grads per capita, the state with the highest income inequality, the state with the highest homelessness rate, state with the highest murder rate, and the state with the most polluted cities.
So none of those have been answered.
None of those have been answered. Okay. People have been guessing and getting close. But, and also looking for the number one pop hit from the 50s, I'll say, which has lyrics that consist of only one word, namely the name of the song. 1950s.
All right. And let's see. If you were to write every number in the English counting system, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, et cetera, in alphabetical order, what would be the first two? What would the first two numbers always be? What would the first two numbers always be? And I asked for the origins of famous book titles, in other words, where they came from, were they from a play or a poem or wherever. So the ones we have left are Light in August by William Faulkner, A Handful of Dust by Evelyn Waugh and The Golden Bowl by Henry James. Tell me where those titles came from. And what was the first winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to also win the Best Song Academy Award? What was the first winner of the Best Picture Academy Award to also win the Best Song Academy Award?
A Handful of Dust from Shakespeare?
It is not from Shakespeare. A little more contemporary. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, yeah. This is Eric from the Castro area.
Hi, Eric.
The worst states, let's see, Connecticut for income inequality.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
Good.
Well done.
Glad you got that.
Yeah, because I know all the rich folk from Manhattan probably live there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And homeless rate, Alabama?
No.
Murder rate, Louisiana.
Correct.
Oh, good.
Well done.
And pollution, Texas.
No.
Huh. And original titles, the Golden Bull, would that be the Bible, the Exodus thing?
It is not. It is the Bible. It's not Exodus, though.
Oh, okay. And I have a question.
Yes.
What do these five ethnic groups have in common? Kurds, Baluchis, Tajikis, Pashtuns, and Ossetians.
What do they have in common? Give us the five once more, would you?
Kurds, yeah. Baluchis, Tajiks, Pashtuns, and Ossetians.
I've never heard of any of
those. The third one was
been in the news, you know, like because of the events and
right.
You know, like the Kurds are in the Middle East, the Baluchis are in Pakistan, the Tajiks have their own country in Central Asia. Pashtuns are in Afghanistan, and the Ossetians are in the Caucasus.
I was going to say that based on Kurds and Ossetians that they're looking for you know, breakaway republics, but the Tajiks have that covered, so that's not... Is it anything in that neighborhood, or am I on the wrong track entirely?
Yeah, frame it for us a little bit.
Well, if I frame it anymore, I mean...
Okay.
I just give it up.
What do they have in common? Is it something historical?
Yeah, well, kind of.
Almost biblical in a sense?
Is it?
No.
No? Kind of.
It's hard to know. I don't know anything about the Tajiks.
Is it something to do with oppression of within their own, where they're located now?
No, because they're pretty spread out.
No, I'm afraid we don't know. We're stuck.
They all speak modern Persian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That is interesting. I had no idea. The Ossetians speak Persian?
Yeah, a type of modern Persian.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay, I wasn't going to actually go with this, but as long as you've opened the door, I'm going to follow up on your question, because I had a question prepared. I've got some titles that are all from Shakespeare. One of them I had on my list was Brave New World from The Tempest.
Right.
But I got five more. Tell me specifically where in Shakespeare these titles come from.
You want play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. Mm-hmm. The Sound and the Fury by Faulkner. Oh, this is not a book. It's a TV show. Band of Brothers. Remembrance of Things Past. And Pale Fire.
Oh.
Well, and Infinite Jest comes from Hamlet.
A fellow of Infinite Jest.
The last poor Yorick.
Exactly so.
I knew
a man
well.
Of Infinite Jest.
Fellow of Infinite Jest. Here for you. Pale Fire, I think I know this. Is that Timon of Athens?
Wow. Yes. I was going to say, if you think you know this, think you're kidding yourself. But I underestimated you. Yes, that is exactly where it's from.
Okay.
Wow. The other ones are The Sound and the Fury, Band of Brothers, and Remembrance of Things Past.
The Sound and Fury comes from Macbeth.
Yes, it does.
It's signifying nothing.
Exactly
Right.
Good.
Good. And I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers.
Remembrance of Things Past.
I don't know about Band of Brothers. Remembrance of Things Past, maybe.
Is that Band of Brothers in that famous... famous speech from
Oh, now I know this. That's the St. Crispin's Day speech Henry
V. Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
It is.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
done.
Yes. I wouldn't have got it without Jerry.
It was a nice collaboration there.
I wouldn't have got it without him.
No, I wouldn't have got it without
him. Heartening to see.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Famous speech. Yeah, yes. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Exactly
yeah.
right. Good.
We brand of brothers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Are you be so base? You are Steve, my brother.
So we only have one left, Remembrance?
Remembrance of Things Past.
Okay. All right. We'll work on that.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
It is. Hi, you're on.
Yeah. We happy few. We band of brothers.
That's right.
Speaking directly into the receiver of a landline for better understanding.
You're very audible.
Yeah. December 13 is actually commemoration of the Rape of Nanjing.
Oh.
I don't know. I forget what the gentleman said. It was December 13 is important.
It's the sequential.
Any of you gentlemen were at the sound box last night?
I was not.
I was there.
At the what?
I didn't see you there.
Josh, would you exempt yourself from answering this complex musical question?
Go ahead.
This is the Symphony's sound box first event in the Zellerbach rehearsal hall. And the question is, what did audience members sit on?
Boxes.
Yes.
And they're derrieres.
What?
I do not know. I was not there.
What would you guess?
I would guess maybe Jerry's right. Maybe it is boxes or
a box, or an orange crate or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That would never do. Josh, do you know?
I was sitting on a couch.
A couch?
Yeah. Others were
They were ottomans.
Ottomans.
All around.
Okay.
Ottomans.
Okay.
And I have a question about soundbox to which I don't have the answer. But I want to ask anyway, the sound system, a very, very elaborate sound system, mimicked the acoustics of St. Mark's Basilica in Venice when they performed a Monteverdi piece. And what I'm asking is, what makes the acoustics of St. Mark's what it is. And if somebody comes up with an answer, an easier question is, how old is it, St. Mark's?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll leave it at. Thanks, Jonas. All right. Since you're here, Josh, I'll ask, I'll give a shortened version of this since we've only got 12 minutes left. So I have a list of current music directors of American Symphony Orchestras. So I'm going to give you a couple names, and you just tell me the orchestra.
Okay, sure.
All right.
You never give me any of these softballs.
I don't know. We'll see how soft it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the kind of thing where if I fail, I'm really...
I would be amazed.
I'll be out of work soon.
Okay. Joanne Folletta.
Joanne Folletta conducts the Buffalo Philharmonic.
That's very good.
You're going to nail them.
Hans Graf.
Hans Graf conducts in Houston.
All right. Very good.
I don't know if it's the Houston Symphony. Houston Symphony.
All right. Maurice Johnson's.
Is he at the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, or he was?
He may have been, but
I don't know if he still
now.
Is.
These are all
these
Americans.
Are American?
Yeah, these are all
Americans. Maurice Johnson's has an American orchestra.
He does.
I should sure know this. Let me think about what. This is going to be boring for radio listeners to sit and listen while I try and remember where Johnson's is. Is it Milwaukee?
It is not Milwaukee.
All right.
It's a good orchestra.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Milwaukee.
No. But this is probably a better orchestra.
Where is Johnson's? I'm blanking.
Okay. Or right, I'll give you one more. Leon Botstein.
Leon Botstein.
I know that.
There you go.
Seattle or...
No.
Where is he?
He's got an orchestra in New York that he conducts.
Oh, yeah, it's called the New American Orchestra.
Something like that.
The American Symphony Orchestra.
I just read a piece about it. We just had an anniversary.
All right. So Maurice Johnson's is the only one you're...
Yeah. All right. Somebody call in and tell us, because I'm embarrassed.
All right.
Where is Johansson's?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Meredith in Palo Alto.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi. A couple of answers. The song with one-word lyrics, mm-hmm. is that tequila?
It is tequila. Well done.
Okay. All right.
And A Handful of Dust comes from a poem by Eliot, maybe The Wasteland.
It is The Wasteland, yes. Very good. Oh. Excellent.
Okay, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye. And the Golden Bowl, the gentleman did get, it is from the Bible. It's from Ecclesiastes. So.
Oh.
So the only one we're looking for is Light in August. That's the only one left over for there. And if you want to join us, a couple of minutes left in the show. So the number is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, I was just going to say tequila.
Give the man
there
a
you
call.
Go.
It was an answer in the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh,
it was,
okay.
Yeah.
Can anyone, right. can you sing it?
1958. Oh, no, I've ruined a lot of birthdays, even singing okay. happy birthday, so I'm not going to ruin your show.
All right.
You need tequila. How about Chevy? George Patton.
Chevy. No.
Good guess, though.
Interesting guess, yeah. No.
And the numbers would be 5-4.
It is not 5-4.
Okay, well, that's all I got.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The Remembrance of Things Past, is it a comedy that it's from?
No.
Okay.
It is not.
I won't guess.
Okay.
The best Oscar and song, is that Gigi?
It is not. Well, you're right in that Gigi won Best Oscar and or Best Picture and Best Song, but no, this was before that.
Oh, well. So, welcome home.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Thomas. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Tequila. Tequila.
Exactly.
Anyway, everybody knows that.
The numbers are 8 and 11.
No, they're not 8 and 11.
Oh.
Yeah, because E becomes before F. That's the lowest E. There's no A, B, C, or D.
It is not 8 and 11.
What's before E? Is it A, B, or C?
Well, you're right about 8, but not 11.
Billion.
So
8 is right and 11 is wrong. Yeah,
yeah, because before 11 will be 18, which is what I guessed, and 80.
Oh, 18. I forgot 18. I was counting him off in my mind. Sorry about that.
That's what about what about billion?
What about it?
I got it.
No, it'd be 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion.
2 billion, yeah.
Okay.
See, that's why it couldn't be that big numbers.
Oh, 8 billion.
That's right. 8 billion.
What a wizard I am when I put my mind to it. Yes.
Well done. All right, the three of us put it together.
But does a blank become before B?
No.
11.
No, anyway. That's right. 8 and 8 billion.
Anyway, the heaviest element, would that be a man-made one, like 118, where they just exist for a microsecond or something?
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, I think they did 118 recently or something. I read somewhere a long time ago.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. And thank you. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Oh, I see. So I have the answer for the heaviest element on Earth. It is osmium. It is quite heavy, almost 23 times as heavy as water. And the answer from last week, she was known as the mother of atomic science, atomic physics. Her name was Samira Musa. She was murdered. She was only actually a foreign scientist that was exposed to the making of the first atom bomb in Los Alamos Lab in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm. And she was murdered by a phony invitation to travel from Knoxville, where she was, to Lawrence Lab in California. It was definitely an assassination. Her name was Samira Musa, and she was an Egyptian scientist.
All right. Thanks, Eve. And let's see. All right, another call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
Did anyone get the lowest high school rate state?
No.
Bring it.
Mississippi?
No, good guess. Not Mississippi.
Guess again. We've got a couple of minutes.
Did anyone say West Virginia, Josh?
Someone did, and it was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, I said it. It was wrong.
Georgia?
No.
Arkansas.
Alabama.
No. Keep going west.
New Mexico.
Not that far west.
Texas?
Texas is correct. Oh. Texas has the fewest high school grads per capita in the nation.
Okay. That explains it.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I'll save my question for next week.
No, give us we got a couple minutes. Give us the question if you want.
I'm thinking of three syllables. Write them down. P-L-Y. E-X-E.
E-X-E.
And what's the third one? B-O-U-R-N-E.
B-O-U-R-N-E.
You're right. This might be better to...
Wait, the second one was E-X-E?
E-X-E, yeah.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
What these syllables have in common.
Born. P-L-Y. What do they have in common?
How is E-X-E... It's something to do with British geography because there's Bournemouth and Plymouth, but then there's
Exmoor.
Exeter.
Exeter.
Bournemouth and Plymouth.
Is there Exmouth?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. That's why I was going to Exeter.
Okay.
Close. It's named after the same river.
Ah, very interesting. E-X-E. Thank you.
Good.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, time to clean up. What do we got?
Okay, well, I know you know the movie. The only song that Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein did not compose, Kern did not compose for a stage or a movie musical, which became a standard, is The Last Time I Saw Paris, which is from that movie with Van Johnson, based on the Fitzgerald story.
Well, it's actually the movie they used it in was Lady Be Good. So the Ann Southern sang it. That's where they won the Academy Award.
Oh, well, it's also heard in that movie with.
They named it. Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay, and the product that Babe Ruth, George Patton, and Buzz Aldrin all endorsed were jockey briefs.
Really? Okay. Yes, Josh.
The highest homelessness rate in the country is actually Hawaii.
Wow.
Surprising.
Best climate.
Must be. Yeah. And the state with the most polluted cities is the Golden State, California.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Remembrance of Things Past, Marcel Proust in English, comes from sonnet number 30. When to the sessions of sweet silent thought, I summon up remembrance of things past.
I'm better at the plays than the sonnets.
Yes, well, that's why that was the one that held out.
Tell
us about Light in August.
First of all, Maris Janssens conducts the Pittsburgh Symphony. And let's see. Light in August is actually Southern slang meaning pregnancy.
Huh.
You're light in August.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
I didn't know that.
And actually, if you read the book, one of the characters has a unplanned pregnancy in it. So.
Well, why is it called that? Why does it have anything to do with pregnancy?
It's just a Southern slang. That's how that's what he decided to name
it. I've never read the book. I always assumed light was a noun in that title.
The first winner of both the Best Picture Academy Award and the Best Song is Going My Way, 1944, Swinging on a Star.
Did you see that great Bing Crosby documentary?
I haven't seen it. Taped it while I was gone, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's worth it, yeah.
And anyway, so if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Josh Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.